Today on Misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel.
Prior to doing this full time, I was a New York City firefighter, and I had never seen anything like that before in any state of mind. After my grandmother died, after 9/11, no one could give me answers. When you lose somebody dear to you, death will bring you to your knees looking for anything and everything to get that answer. And then all of a sudden he's gone and I'm never going to see him again. I can never sense him again. And after he passed away, I started getting some signs. I'd start to see apparitions. I'd start to think that I'd hear his voice. An object appears, a round silver type object in the sky. So I see a second one come. The two objects come together. They merge as one and they vanish. Sitting in his room and being there, I was just open to, okay, maybe there's something else. And it just clicked. All of a sudden, I got a tingle up my spine. I started to see these black and white images coming in. We are living in times like we have never seen before. We are all in this together. Everyone out there is fighting a battle that is unseen.
When you spend your life running into burning buildings, you learn to trust what's real. The sound of your breath, the heat on your skin, the weight of another person in your arms. You don't deal in maybes, you deal in seconds. But what happens when a man like that, a firefighter, starts to see things he can't explain? When instincts that once helped him save lives begin showing him visions of the dead, illnesses in the living, and lights in the sky that no one else seems to see. My guest today is known as the psychic firefighter, and whether you believe in the supernatural or not, his story makes you question what is possible. He says his awakening began with a message from a total stranger, a psychic who told him something no one else could have known about his grandmother. That moment set off a chain of events that would completely upend his understanding of life, death, and everything in between. Today, Andrew, the psychic firefighter, whose name I cannot pronounce, claims he can communicate with people who have crossed over, that he's witnessed UFOs, and that sometimes when he looks at someone, he can even see what is happening inside of their own body before they ever know it themselves. It's easy to dismiss stories like his, to write them off as delusional or coincidence, but Andrew isn't a drifter or a mystic. He's a first responder, a man trained to separate fact from fiction, life from loss, fire from smoke. And maybe that's what makes this conversation so compelling, because when someone whose life was built on reality starts talking about the other side, well, you have to ask yourself, what if he's right? Andrew, thank you so much for joining me today on Misunderstood, all the way from Australia. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me on, Rachel.
It's been a long time coming. I'm really excited to have you here. I want to tell our listeners that the way I first saw you is because you had been doing, I don't know if you've been doing a podcast tour or what, but you started to show up on my feed very often. And one of the people you had been interviewed by was Armie Hammer. And at the time it was very strange because he had reached out to me about doing his show as well. So I was looking, I guess, at people on his show, and yours was the first episode I watched on his podcast and was fascinated by what you guys did together. And it seemed like you guys created a bond and a friendship out of the experience. Did you meet him because he asked you to come on the show, or he found you privately and just loved what you did and brought you on?
So when I first met him, I was living in Australia, and around 2021, right in that range, 2022, I got an email from a guy and he wanted a reading, and I read someone, and his name is Mark. And then he's like, do you mind if I refer anyone to you? I said, yeah, sure. And then he refers someone to me, and all it said in the email when the person booked was AH. So I didn't know who this person was. And I read him, and this is right at the beginning of when everything was happening in his life. Everything was, you know, out there in the media, but I'm in Australia, so I'm not aware of what's going on in his life. But I said, this is what I see. This is what I see coming. And I see at the end of 2024. So you're talking from 2022. I said, at the end of 2024, around like November-ish, you're going to go back to work. And he's like, what? He's like, that's a long time, but are you sure? How do you know? Is it going to come sooner? I go, it's going to come then. And then fast forward, November 2024, he gets his first job to go back to work. And then he contacted me and said, you have to come on the podcast. We have to talk about this.
Oh, that's amazing. And then from there, did a lot of people notice you and hire you after that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. When I went on his podcast, it was amazing. People reached out to me from all over the world. I've been doing this for about 15 years. I mean, prior to doing this full time, I was a New York City firefighter. And then I did this professionally when I moved to Australia, professionally for about 7 years now. But I've been doing this for a very long time. But yeah, wasn't like I previously knew him or had any prior knowledge. And when you meet somebody and you see something, if you tell them something and it comes true, it's important to share that, because that's a pretty big deal. And that's a pretty big prediction 2 years in advance. And it happened.
And it seems like he really connects with you and asks you before he does things to talk about. You talk a lot about numbers, right? When you did my reading, you talked a lot about numbers. So I think you were telling me that was really important in your reading of him. And he's very specific on the days of the week or the days of the month he might do something, right?
Yeah. So for example, he had contacted me and said, I'm going to start my podcast. What day should I start it on? And I said, you need to start it on the 28th of the month. I don't care the month. It's got to be on the 28th. And he's like, why? And I'm like, you're born on the 28th. So that is a very good number for you. And if you do that, you'll get a nice response. And his team was like, no, we need to do it on the first. We need to put this out, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, no, we're waiting till the 28th. And they did. They waited till the 28th. And when they dropped it, boom, it took off.
Right. Amazing. All right. Well, let's back up for a second, because as you mentioned, you used to be a New York City firefighter. I really want to talk to you about your life prior to who you are now for a minute. Can you tell our listeners where you're from and how you got into becoming a firefighter?
Sure. So I grew up in a town called Floral Park in Long Island, New York. And I grew up, my mom is a teacher. My dad was a New York City firefighter. And ever since I was a little kid, I have pictures of me 5 years old at the firehouse wearing my dad's bunker coat, wearing it to the ground, the fire coat, and I'm 5 years old. I mean, it is, oh my God. So I knew at a young age, I was around the firehouse. I knew I just wanted to do that. How did I know? I just always felt drawn. I would go with my dad to work. I'd spend nights with him, 24 hours. I'd stay up all night at the firehouse. I just loved it. And I knew for sure, though, that I wanted to do this when 9/11 happened. Because I knew for sure, seeing that, I saw that, and my first response was when I saw the incident that happened, I wish I was in there. And a lot of people may think that sounds crazy, but I just felt drawn, and I knew for sure that was like a dividing line for a lot of people I grew up with that thought they maybe wanted to do it. I knew for sure, I'm all in and I'm gonna make this happen.
Now, how old were you on September 11th?
I was 21. Yep, 9/11 2001. So yeah, I was 21 years old. And at the time, I was living in the Hamptons. I was an electrician in the Hamptons. I was living in a mansion on the beach.
Okay.
You know, I've talked about this in podcasts, but yes, I'm living in a mansion on the beach working as an electrician. All my roommates were stockbrokers. There was a famous movie called Boiler Room.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the guys in that movie were my roommates. Now, I didn't know them prior. Same thing. I just needed a house to stay in. I ended up living with these guys. And they told me later on, oh, yeah, they made this movie about us. Well, I'm living in this house, like a share house. And then I'm working as an electrician. And then I saw what happened. And I go, oh, my God. And I had this feeling that my father was at the World Trade Center. I didn't even know if he was working. I just said, he's there. I know it. So I remember calling the firehouse. And I just asked for him and they said, oh, they relocated to Manhattan. And he works at Bed-Stuy. And I'm like, oh my God, call my mom. We don't, you know, I haven't heard from him. This is before cell phones. My dad didn't have a cell phone back, you know, back then. It wasn't like today. And we're trying to get in touch with him. So we're watching what's going on. I first learned about it from Howard Stern on the radio. I'm listening at work and I thought it was fake. I'm like, oh, someone's pretending. This is a joke. You know, he's has somebody on, they're doing something funny. And then he's like, this is not a joke. And I'm like, oh my God. So I drive to my share house, watching on the big screen TV what happened. A lady, one of my roommates, actually, her husband was in the FBI. And I remember her telling us right after what happened, and it was obviously not good. Her, and you know, the intel that she had was not good. But I'm waiting to hear from my dad. It's 9, 10, 11, 12. I'm not hearing from him. I had this feeling, though. I just felt that he was okay. That's just what I felt. How did I know? I don't know. I just felt it, though. I trusted that he was okay. And then around 1 o'clock, boom, my mom calls me at the house and goes, I talked to him. He's okay. And my heart dropped to the ground. But yes, he was there. He was there. He was there when it all went down. He was at the firehouse just about to get off of work. Wow. And my dad usually always rode till 9 o'clock on the dot. That morning, for some reason, about 20 minutes before, the driver was in. He's like, Richie, just go. I'm going to drive. He's like, all right, fine. Well, that happened. My dad went to the roof of the firehouse and they saw the second plane come in. They hopped on the truck. They drove down there. They're in the truck. In my dad's house, there's a truck, a ladder, and an engine. The ladder's going there. The engine took a different route. They pull in. As they're walking down the block, a guy jumped out of a window, a civilian that worked in the World Trade Center, and he hit a firefighter named Danny Sir from Engine 216. And as this is happening, my dad, the engine company in my dad's house, they're working, they're trying to revive this guy. As they're doing this, the tower falls. So that one guy from jumping out of the window and hitting the firefighter saved all those other guys' lives because they stopped working them. They would have been in the building, no question. So it's a little eerie, but my dad's firehouse, Ladder 102, Engine 209, Bed-Stuy, every single firehouse in the area that day lost pretty much every single guy working, except my dad's house. Nobody passed the building somehow.
Wow. I've never heard that story. And it's fascinating. And as you, I think, you know, I lost my fiance that day. And I'm so happy to hear that your father made it and all the people that he worked with. So how long after that did you actually become a firefighter?
So right after that happened, I was training for the fire department. I was working as an electrician still every day after work. I'd go to the gym for 3 hours. And I'd go with my buddy, Bobby Muser, who's now a chief on the FDNY, doing amazing. So I grew up with this guy. We got on together, went through the academy together. Amazing. Now he's a chief on the fire department, doing great. We trained every day together after work. And we were real serious. And I took the test. I got 100 on the written and 100 on the physical. And I had to wait 5 years to get hired.
Wait, why?
Because there was so many people before me that if you lived in the city, you got 5 extra points. If you were like, you know, a child whose father or relative passed, they give you 10 points. So
And also, I think after September 11th, everybody wanted to be a firefighter, right?
There were more than ever that applied. So you're talking about, you know, I don't know how many, but just say hundreds, I don't know, 100,000, at least so many people that got hired. My list number overall, though, I remember, was 2,202. And also when I was waiting, there was a list already active. So they took everyone. They took everyone from the list prior to me because they were desperate. They needed guys. So they hired people that normally never would have got hired because they ran the list out. So they just kept hiring. And then by the time they got to me, it was 5 years. So I had to wait 5 years. Yeah. And, you know, I was waiting and ready. And then finally in April 2006, I got on.
I wanted to know about when your spirituality started. When did you, you know, were you religious before then? Did you believe in life after death? Like, what, tell me what you were like in terms of being religious before this or during this.
Okay. Prior to 9/11, because I'll explain that in a second, because that really changed things too. That like put it all together for me though. Prior to that, as a kid, I used to watch a television show, Unsolved Mysteries, with my grandmother.
I love that show. Yeah.
So amazing. And in 1993, I'm 13 and I look at her and I go, Graham, when you go to heaven one day and you're with grandpa, can you come back and give me a sign like they do on TV? And she looked at me and she said, yeah, I will. And she kept her promise. We'll get to that. Okay. But at the time, we never brought it. I never told anyone. It wasn't like a big deal. I don't know why. I just felt drawn to say that. I don't know. I just said it. So I said that to her in 1993. Now, you're going on around those years. I lost a best friend when I was 5. He had a heart transplant, died on the operating table. And then I lost a best friend at 13. He was on a Royal Caribbean cruise, and he had alcohol poisoning and died. So my dealing and coping with death in a old school firefighting household was just, you got to keep going. You know what I mean? You got to go. Right. There's no sobbing. You got to keep going. So that's what I did. I did it the best I could. But after the second loss of my friend at 13, I really started to question, there's got to be something else. There has to be something else. There's no way I'm here with this, my friend, and then all of a sudden he's gone and I'm never going to see him again. I can never sense him again. And after he passed away, I started getting some signs. Like before I'd go to bed, I'd start to see apparitions. I'd start to think that I'd hear his voice. But I'm not sure at the time. I don't know if this is my imagination or if I'm really experiencing this, because I don't exactly have a support network. It's not like today where you can go online and get info. I believe there was something in me that kept me. So I was just very like looking into this. I would ask a priest from my church. I'd ask people and they all would say, well, the Bible says this, Bible says that. Yeah. Well, 9/11 happened and I lost all faith, of course, because I said God wouldn't do this and all that stuff. I was angry. I was bitter. I was so angry. And no one understands except you and people like you that have been through what happens in the after effects.
Yeah.
So there's the event. And then most people in time, 6 months, a year, go back to regular and they don't.
Right.
I have people after 2-3 years after me talking about 9/11 saying, oh, remember 7/11? And they honestly, like they don't even realize, they just sit like, and then they'd laugh. And I'm like, that's not funny. Like I lost like 20 friends. That ain't funny. Like, you know what I mean? Like people just that aren't involved or they're not directly connected. A lot of people just, they laugh or they just move on. And I took it very seriously. So after 9/11, I saw with how firefighters were coping or not coping with after effect. And some people drank themselves to death. Some people took their own lives. And this is, I'm talking after, for even 20 years later, like I
of
saw
course.
Things
yeah.
becoming a fireman and oh my God, and the PTSD and then how it affects the kids. And I grew up with kids whose dads who died on 9/11 with the 9/11 kids. You know, just because my dad lived doesn't mean I'm not, you know, I'm part of that. It is what it is. Not all of us made it. There's some kids that are not here right now that did not make it, and they chose to deal with things because that's all they knew. I'm not blaming it, and I'm just saying. So when I became a firefighter, same thing. I got on and saw how it was and what was going on and loved all of it. And then same thing. My grandmother passes away in 2010. And that is right after 2010 when she passed away. I go out to eat with my mom in Floral Park at Jameson's. It's a little tiny Irish place. We're in there. And a guy comes in with long hair, earrings, leather jacket, comes up to me and my mom and says, did someone in your family just die that had cancer right here on their face? And that's exactly what my grandmother had. I go, yeah. And he goes, and you or your mom, who was born on Easter Sunday? And my mom was born on Easter Sunday in 1956. And I'm like, you know, what's going on? He's like, I'm a psychic. I'm doing a reading at the restaurant. My name's Robert Hansen. I'm like, keep going. Everything he said was spot on accurate. And there's no way this guy could have known any of that. So still at that moment, I was still skeptical, you know, maybe someone paid this guy to come in and do this. I'm thinking all these other things. So I waited a year. I tracked the guy down after going through Hurricane Sandy. Hurricane Sandy, I lived in Long Beach, Long Island. My house was underwater. I lost literally everything from a relationship to a house, money, you name it, everything's gone. And I thought, that's it, I'm done. Like, again, once again, I'm going through another horrible trauma like 9/11, I'm losing everything. Like, maybe that psychic could tell me something. So I track him down And I'm not following him. I'm not on social media at the time. I'm not doing anything like this. I'm just working at the firehouse, playing hockey on my days off, working as an electrician part-time. I'm not doing anything like this. I track him down. He read me for an hour. And at the end of the reading, he goes, "Andrew, you know you have the gift, right?" And I said, "The psychic gift?" He goes, "Yeah." I said, "All right, what do I do with that?" He goes, "Come here on the weekend and I'll help you how to tap into it. But it's right around you. I see it." I said, "Okay, I'll come." So I went to his studio that weekend and I sat in a room full of 20 people I never met. We meditated for 5 minutes. He paired me up with a young lady sitting knee to knee with her face to face. He goes, "Just tell her what you're seeing." And bang, all of a sudden, I got a tingle up my spine. I started to see these black and white images coming in. And I said to her, I go, "There's a car that's going in reverse." And she's nodding, "Yes, yes, yes." I go, "It's hitting a pole or a tree," something like that. She's like, "Yep." I go, "And there's someone's left leg that is cut off or removed." She goes, "Yeah." I go, "And there's a V above this person. Is their name Vinny or Vince or something like that?" She goes, "Yeah, that's what happened to my Uncle Vinny, exactly." And I'm like, okay, I guess this is it. And
that was the first time you ever read anybody?
Yeah.
Okay, time out. So how did you know that this wasn't just, first of all, I will start by asking, were you doing drugs at the time?
No.
Okay. So how did you know that you weren't just making it up? Because if you said to me, okay, let's sit across from each other knee to knee and meditate and then think about what you see, I wouldn't know if it was just my mind being, you know, trying to have an imagination and trying to come up with something, or if it's real. Like, what made you think that this was real as opposed to what was going on in your head?
Well, for one, I had a different feeling overall in my body. I literally said the hair on my neck, on my spine was standing up. And then the images, the way they were coming in, it looked like an old Charlie Chaplin film. And I had never seen anything like that before in any state of mind. You know, nothing. I mean, just nothing like that. Black and white. I'm like, and yes, my mentor, the guy helping me, Robert Hansen, he said, "Yes, this is how it works. This is how it is." And it only started to really take effect after a while from doing it over and over. At first, I'm like, I don't know. Maybe this person's lying to me. Maybe they want to make me feel good. So from doing this for about 6 months and then finally having an experience with somebody that I knew 1,000% that this was real, how do you really know, right? The only way you can know is if someone can show you something and say, "Yeah, this is what you were describing, this exact thing." So I read this lady once and I said, "There's a young girl coming through. Her name is V or something, Victoria, Vanessa, something with a V." She's like, yeah. I go, "She's showing me a boat on like a holiday weekend in Long Island." She's like, yeah. I go, "And she's missing?" She's like, "Yeah." And I'm describing all these things to her. I go, "And she's showing me a man in an Avengers costume." She's like, I don't know. I go, "And a pink shirt with these white hearts on it." She's like, "No, I don't know what that means." After the reading, she goes, "Andrew, my best friend had a daughter that was named Vanessa or Victoria, whatever it was." She goes, "She died on a holiday weekend in the Long Island Sound. The boat got hit by another boat or something. It capsized. They thought she was missing. She wasn't. She had drowned." And I'm like, oh my God, I could literally see what she was showing me. She goes, "There's a memorial page for her. I want to show you." So we go to some website or whatever, and she shows me, she's looking at photos. There's a photo of a man in an Avengers outfit. I go, "Who's that?" She goes, "That was her stepfather." I go, "That's what I was describing during the reading. Oh my God." I go, "And what's this?" Then there's a photo of a little girl in a pink shirt with white hearts on it. I go, "That's what I was telling you in the reading." She goes, "Yeah, that's her." So I knew at that point, there is no way that this girl I'm reading, now I'm reading her in a basement in Deer Park, Long Island, Suffolk, in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of winter, reading this girl in a basement. And once again, I did this when I started training for 12 years for nothing. I didn't charge anyone. I did this for free. I was training, learning. Whenever I worked, I had a job, full-time job. I didn't do this as a business. This is just a thing I did on the side to help people.
Right.
So, yeah.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. Forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
What if I told you that the idea that you only get parasites when you travel to some exotic country is flat wrong? Millions of Americans carry parasites right now, often without symptoms. For example, it's estimated that millions in the United States have been exposed to Toxocara, a parasitic worm, yet most never even know it. Parasites do not need a plane ticket. They can enter through tap water, sushi, undercooked foods, or contaminated produce. Some strains live in all stages, eggs, larvae, adults, hidden in your gut, releasing toxins that sabotage your energy and digestion. That's why I'm excited about Parify, Kim Rogers' 30-day full-spectrum parasite cleanse. The kit works by clearing parasites, worms, candida, and heavy metals, targeting parasites in all life stages, supporting gut health, detox pathways, and toxin removal. It's taken orally, daily, for 30 days, with precise dosing. I'm actually doing it myself right now. I started with the lymph cleanse, then I'm doing the Parify. Want to dive deep? I did a full interview with Kim Rogers, the worm queen herself, where we expose all the myths, understand the facts, and show how to protect your body. Listen to that episode if you haven't already. Meanwhile, go to rogershood.com and use the code Rachel to get 10% off of your order. That's R-A-C-H-E-L for 10% off. Give it a try. Maybe your body's missing link is hiding inside. Let's do this together. Again, it's rogershood.com, rogershood.com, and use the code Rachel for 10% off. Okay, wait, a couple questions. When you first, that day when you were in the store with your mom and Robert Hansen, that's his name, right, came in and said this thing about your grandmother, was he doing readings in the restaurant or was he like, okay.
We sat down to eat. He was doing a reading in the restaurant there, a whole reading. And we
for
were sitting
anyone at, that was in there. Okay.
Yeah, we were sitting at a table and you know, he just called.
Were you like, what's with this crazy guy doing all this stuff?
I mean, we were just eating like, oh, okay.
Right.
I guess we walk in and I didn't realize at the time, but later they had a poster up, psychic medium coming tonight. We just went to the restaurant, but later on I saw a sign, he's here tonight. I just went in to eat. And then as it turned out, yeah, he was reading everyone in the restaurant. If you didn't want to get read, you could say no, or you could leave. You didn't have to go in there. I didn't know until later. Yeah.
My other question from your story is when you went to meet him on this first weekend and you do your first reading, what do you think was it about that moment that it finally was a different feeling up your spine, being able to read someone, seeing things more clearly and differently? What was different about that room? I mean, you said you meditated for 5 minutes, that all of a sudden you were more open to something and you could really do things differently or feel differently.
So people usually come to me as the last option. I'm the last resort. And I know because I'm speaking from experience. I went to the priest. I went to the therapist. You know, I went to relatives. I talked to everyone after my grandmother died, after 9/11. No one could give me answers. Nobody. And all I wanted to know was, I need to know that the guys, the friends, the people I called, you know, Uncle Billy McGovern that died in 9/11, I need to know that he's okay, that he's not suffering. I need to know my grandmother's not still sick and suffering with the cancer she had. But I have to know, for me, that reading the Bible and faith wasn't good enough. And in that moment, I feel that I went to all those options already. I had done everything else first. Sitting in his room and being there, I was just open to, okay, maybe there's something else. And it just clicked. Because I think we go through life and all these things that happen tell us these things aren't possible, right? This stuff is nonsense, mediums are frauds, blah, blah, blah. They kind of put blocks or filters on us. And yeah, you could go through life like that's fine. But when you have that experience like I had with that psychic, oh my God. And then I'm on the other end. I'm like, if I can do this or I can kind of help somebody navigate whatever, I have to do this. This is like a calling now.
Right. So humor me for a minute, though, because there are so many people out there that are fakes. Okay, right. We all know. I mean, from the little guy you drive by and there's a sign saying psychic here, you know, $75, whatever it is, to the people that are online and have very famous names. And I know personally are not truthful, you know, about their abilities. All the way to people that are mentalists, though. Like I've had Oz Perlman on. Do you know who he is? Who is a mentalist? He is like, I am not a psychic, but he could do anything that you do, right? And say, oh, I can predict the future. I can talk to so-and-so based on human, you know, perception of human movements and bodily positions. I don't really understand how he does it, but he's reading people and has become very good at that and studied to be that. Not a magician, not a psychic, but, you know, working on mental stuff. So my question is for you, like, how, when you finally felt like you had some ability, did you realize that you were special, or you just realized anyone could open their mind and also have that ability? Like, can anyone do it if they really believe in it?
I feel that many people will get the call or kind of hear something to draw you, but very few will answer. Because now if you're in a relationship or you're with somebody and they're not into this, or most people aren't, they're going to laugh it off and say you're crazy and don't do this and blah, blah, blah. So right there, you might be walking away from something that you genuinely have. Now, this gift, or anyone that might do it, if they call it something else, great. I don't care what you call it. I don't even like the word psychic. Intuitive, someone tapping in, an ESP, extrasensory. I've worked with, and I've met firefighters and cops all over the world that have had similar types of experience at work, at home. I have too. They don't say they're psychic. They just know that when you tap into this, there's scientific data now to go with it, that there's something to this. Yes, there are psychics that have television shows that are total frauds. I know them 1,000%. So there's ethics, right? So number one thing that I was taught, the way we do things, right? You never just ambush someone with a reading, because number one, if I was on the beach in Coney Island, where I used to live, and I walked up to somebody and said, hey, your grandmother's here, and she blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean? The guy might stab me with a hypodermic needle. You know what I mean? You can't do that.
Oh my God. Right. Well, true. So, but how does it work now that you're open to it? Like, are you always hearing things, or you have to like be in a quiet space? Like, how does that work?
No. And when I hear people that it's always coming through too, no, I just, number one, if that happened, I'd be in a psych ward.
Right. Totally.
Not waking up, eat, sleep, and going, and it's not, oh my God, how could I function to raise my family? No. So just like a cell phone, you have a battery life. When it's getting low, that's it. You got to charge it up. So for me, I go and do my readings during the day. When the readings are over, that's it. I'm Andrew. I don't talk about this stuff with my kids nonstop, or people. If they talk to me about it, that's different. But I'm not 24/7. That's crazy. And people that do that, I honestly don't buy it. That's nuts. You would lose it. You'd be institutionalized. That's not healthy.
Okay, but walk me through it. How do you turn it on and off?
Yeah. So when I sat the very first time doing the meditation, right? Once again, I sat quiet. I started meditating for a couple minutes. Boom, it came. So I just do that process every time. I'll sit for a few minutes first and boom. Now, of course, you got to have permission, right? So if I'm doing it with somebody, I'll just do it. Got to have that permission, but I always prepare. I'm not a dog. So I've had people interview me or meet me on the street and go, read me right now. And I'm like, you're an electrician, go wire my house right now.
Right.
And they're like, well, I'm like, no, that's proper etiquette. Come on. We don't do right. that.
So does it work every time or it doesn't?
So my experience with this, I've been online for many, many years and done this. I haven't seen someone post or say anything that it didn't work or someone that was disappointed. I have had people say, oh, I don't want to talk to them. I don't want to talk to my mom. No, I just want my aunt. And I'm like, that's not how this works. I told you how right from the beginning. So have I ever not been able to connect? No, but people have not been happy from the person that told them something. Because I tell people, I'm not going to tell you what you want to hear. I'm going to tell you what you need to hear to change your life. If you want to, if you want to be told a lie, go online. There's a lot of people that'll tell you whatever you want. I'm not going to do it.
And so how does it present to you? You said it's visions. And is it still black and white to this day? And it's visions that you have to interpret, which by the way, I mean, it's obvious can be confusing because you might be interpreting it one way and that might not mean what they're trying to say, right?
So for me, they will show me images of people that I know. For example, if I see my grandmother, I know it's someone's grandmother. Because I'm like, unless I don't know you or your family, so I don't know what it is. They're not showing me them because when people transition, they're in an energetic form. So there's no way, my understanding and how I was trained too with Robert Hansen, they're not going to present themselves the way they used to look because we don't know what they used to look like. They don't look like that anymore. They have changed form. So the way they do it is they tap into us and they could show us images that we recognize from people we know and go, oh, wow, my grandmother wore this or had that perfume. And someone will say, yeah, oh, my grandmother too. Okay, that makes sense now. She was Irish, blah, blah, blah.
Okay, I got it. Have you ever heard someone come across and say things that were hard to, things that you didn't want to say, like whether or not someone was saying you're going to die in a car crash next week or you're ill? I mean, I know I when I've studied you, you're able to talk to people about their health, right?
Yeah. So I've had relatives, people I've loved, people who've been close to me that have had illness or something, you know, that they are not aware of. And that can go two ways, and it has gone two ways. So meaning, go get this looked at, I'm fine, leave me alone. You know, old-fashioned, stubborn. And you have to make that decision as an individual. Do you say something? If I love you, if I'm close to you, I'm just going to say it. Because like as someone that I love, I would just say it. However, if you don't know that person, you just go and hit them with that. Now, number one, if you are wrong for some reason, oh, you better be certain that what you're telling them health-wise is 100% accurate, you know, because if it's not, you're probably going to see some reel or something about you out there that this fraud, you know, Sylvia Brown, the psychic that famous out there for lying to somebody, told them their child was still alive and they weren't, you better be certain. So that's all I can say. Yes, I've said it. Now I've had it where it came true, unfortunately. And sometimes people don't want to address it or deal with it. You would think, right, somebody that you're related to would listen to you, but they don't sometimes. They're just like, stop with that psychic stuff. So I still tell them, I still love you. I'm still going to tell you.
Oh my gosh. So wait, does your family support you and believe in you, or they all think you're nuts?
Yes. So years ago in 2018, the New York Post wrote an article about me. FDNY firefighter communicates with alien spirits, blah, 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 blah. When that came out, I had relatives tell me, don't ever mention my name. You're not related to me, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. I said, well, number one, I had nothing to do with the article. They just wrote it. However, fast forward now, right? 7-8 years later, since people have passed on in the family since then, the same people have come back saying, oh, I always believed in what you did. Oh, yeah. No, I always believe in that stuff. Can you tell me this? And I'm like, Yeah. So it's all good. When people finally lose somebody, and I don't wish this on anyone, but when you lose somebody dear to you, and I've gone through it, death will bring you to your knees looking for anything and everything to get that answer. And if you can find it from someone or someone that can, you know, put that in you, that promise in you, that's special. Because for me, Rachel, nothing else worked. Nothing.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And grief can be something that freezes people, right? They cannot move on. They're stuck. So I know that that's why people hold out hope for someone that does what you do, because they want to connect. They want to know that their loved one is okay. I'm curious, in all the stuff that you've done in the last 7 years, you said you've really been practicing this or whatever, getting hired for this kind of work. What is your thought and understanding of humanity. I was going to ask you about the afterlife, but that's a separate question. We had a guy on last week that talked to us about, he created a thing called Staticom, where he can have a two-way conversation with people that are dead. That's what he said. And the most interesting part to me was that he believed that they cannot predict the future, which then would open your thoughts to, well, maybe there's no such thing as fate and destiny, that they cannot predict the future because there is no such thing as, they wouldn't know because it hasn't happened yet. And you can very much determine your own future by the choices you make, the steps you take, the things you think and manifest into your life, but it's not supposed to happen. It happens when it happens. So to me, that was really enlightening. And another thing he said, and I'm not going to verbalize it well, but he said that he couldn't even fathom what kind of questions to ask them because we only know what we know based on our experience and in this world. But similar to what you said, it's energy. They're in energy. So we are in who we are. It's who we are in our mind and inside, right? We're just in this vessel. I'm in this body. You're in that body. So when we move on, we are still us, but it moves on to energy in a different way or form. So we don't know, you know, things. We don't know our cell phone. We're not asking questions about stupid shit that we're asking that we know about here. That is a completely different realm of their life. And so we don't know time. They don't know time. Do you follow what I'm saying? So it's kind of like, it's two separate lives, but you are the same person. So I don't even know what my question was there, but the interesting thing is that's what this guy said. I guess my question would be, do you have that similar thought now that you feel like you've spoken to people that have passed on?
Yes. So when I began on this journey too, I always like to speak with professionals. And, you know, because you can get anything from people online. But when this began, someone said to me, you need to find a doctor or a geneticist to help you. I think you might be tapping into some junk DNA or something like that, that other people don't. So I connected with a guy named Dr. Gary Nolan at Stanford University, who is phenomenal, world renowned immunologist, virologist, amazing. He studies psychics and UFO contactees and beyond and all sorts of things. And when I remember contacting him and explaining what I was going through, number one, he was fascinated. He said, I want to know everything. Tell me everything you've been through. He goes, I know you're not lying. You know, I know the things that you've gone through. I've talked with other people over the years, Uri Geller and all sorts of people. And this person has his own laboratory. The own laboratory is at Stanford. You can look this up. Incredible. And he made me feel very grounded about this whole thing because he said, Andrew, all potential is limitless. Yes. We might be tapping into some junk DNA, but he said to me something fascinating. He said, in our brain, there's another brain. We call it the antenna. There's a medical term you can look up, but to keep it real simple for the listeners, there's an antenna. And you could increase or raise this antenna through near-death experiences, out-of-body experiences, contact with UFO spirits, any of this stuff. But it seems to stimulate something that when people have a lot of these contact experiences, whatever is out there is aware when people are trying to transmit a signal, or like I like to say, your antenna is raising. You do more of this, your antenna raises. You meditate more, the antenna raises. Right. And then the phenomena or spirits or whatever you want to call them, they become aware. And then it's like an open relationship where they can come through at ease. Now, so like I said, this is something a scientist explained to me. So yes, they might have radios. There might be mentalists that claim they can predict the future. If anyone listening out there can predict the future or anything in there, stop doing podcasts and go call the FBI and predict the next 9/11. That's what I could say to you. Because if I could do that, I would never, I'd be done. I wouldn't do any more readings. I would close it up. What happens for me is I can't predict anything. No. I can't do that. What it is whatever is there, I just relay. Army Hammer, you're going back to work in 2.5 years. Boom. Okay, somebody else, your podcast is going to do this or that, or you need to take a step back. I tell people things and it just comes at will. Oh, you're going to look out for this illness. You know, oh, I don't know about that. Boom, it happens. Okay. Mm-hmm. So yes, these things will just come and go. So it's not anything for me. It just, every person's different and it's not always the same. It changes. And what good is it if I tell you something or anyone and you do not apply it? I have told more people things that were true that have happened, that they don't do, that they don't do anything, or they definitely don't share about it. They're ashamed. They're embarrassed that it happened. Yeah. So.
Right. Okay. I want to talk to you about UFOs because you brought it up, and I know that this is a big part. You have claimed to have seen UFOs. Please explain the first time that happened and your thoughts on UFOs.
So I was in the U.S. Coast Guard. So 1999, I'm in the Gulf of Mexico. I'm on top of the boat, the U.S. Coast Guard Cutter Durable. I'm the night watchman, and I see an object.
What year is this in your life? Where are you in your world?
19.
Okay. Before you became a firefighter.
Yep. Before 9/11, before I'm a fireman. I'm a kid. I'm, you know, 19, young adult. So I had, prior to this, no UFOs coming in all the time. Nothing like that. Same thing. I watch Unsolved Mysteries. That's my background with it. That's it. And I'm not looking for them. I'm not going out like, where are, no. I'm like just a guy in the military doing my thing. However, an object appears, a round silver type object in the sky. So I just see something moving. And I know I'm seeing this because I'm looking at binoculars and military grade night vision. So something is in the sky. I don't know what. I'm not thinking UFO.
And are people with you and watching this also?
So I see a second one come, and I call down to the officer on duty, and I said, you need to come up here. I see an object to the, you know, right off the front of our ship. He comes up. Next thing I know, 20 people are up there. The captain of the boat's up there. We are all looking at this.
Right.
We're all seeing these two objects move slightly. One's just slightly in front of the other. They're just moving like that. Almost like they're in formation. Now, this is way before the satellite era. I'm not thinking drone or, you know what I mean? Nothing like that. I'm thinking, oh, this is the Navy or the Air Force testing something. I don't know. I'm not thinking UFO though. But as we're talking, we're all talking. Everyone's like, wow, this is wild. Look at these things. All of a sudden, after like 10, 15 minutes, I don't know the time. I wasn't checking every minute. I just know it was a good amount of time because everyone's up there. The two objects come together. And when they come together, they merge as one and they vanish. No trace, no trail, no sound, just gone. Gone, completely gone. We're looking with our night vision goggles, everything.
And are you freaking out?
Well, guys I was with had time out at sea. So they were like, you're going to see weird things, kid. Relax, you know, like calm down. But me, I'm like, yeah, of course. Oh, my God. What is that? I don't even know. Like, I can't words to... Is that an alien? I don't know. I don't have the words to describe what it is yet. And they're like, you're going to see unidentified things unless they're engaging at us or coming at us. Don't worry about it. Yeah, there's weird things out there. But anything in the water, in the sky that passes by a military vessel, you have to get on the radio and report that you're passing by. Because if you don't, in 1999, I knew we had rules of engagement. If you didn't identify yourself, we had the right to shoot you down. No questions asked, done.
Right.
So that's a dangerous thing, whatever that was that did that.
Wow. So, and how many times have you encountered UFOs?
Thousands.
And not in the middle of the ocean, but like in a rural.
So 1999, I do that, right? And 9/11 happens, right? All that stuff after. And I hear this guy online named Dr. Stephen Greer. And he claims that he could proactively communicate and make these things appear, UFOs. And I'm like, what? Nah, there's no way. You could make these things appear? All right, I'm going to see. So I fly out to the desert in 2011. Me and my partner at the time, she was a New York police officer.
Okay.
We both fly out there. She way more skeptical than I was, but we both, whatever. We both fly out there. And we're trained observers with the job we have. So we go out there. And the first night we're out there, we don't see anything, nothing. And I'm like, this is, you know, oh my God.
This is a scam.
Of course. Well, he says to us, just, you know, if you go back to your hotel room later at night, you might see something. Sometimes things happen, blah, 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 blah. I wake up at 3 a.m. and I see a green ball of light in the room. I wake her up and I'm like, do you see that? She's like, yeah. I go over to the wall. It's gone now. I'm like, what the heck? I'm searching, climbing the walls in the hotel room. We're in Borrego Springs, California, the desert, the middle of nowhere. There's no electricity outside. So there's no light coming in, you know, nothing like that. I'm looking all over. There's nothing there. I go back into bed. I look, the object reappears and then it moves about 1 to 2 feet up. So I'm like, I'm not moving now. I'm not moving where I am. The object stayed from 3 a.m. until the sun rose a couple hours later. And the next morning, we met in the morning to have breakfast with this group we were with. And I explained what happened. And they're like, what did you feel like? What do you think it was? I'm like, well, it felt like probably there was some object outside, something bigger. And it sent like a probe in or something to just like check us out and make us feel safe. I don't know. That's just what it felt like. I don't know. I've never seen something that close. Oh, my God. It was away. And Dr. Greer was like, yeah, that's how it works. From that moment on, okay, October of 2011 till now, every day or night, if I go outside, these things come.
Come on.
And I can film them. If you go on my Instagram, I have hundreds of videos. I've had my footage studied, analyzed. My footage has been sent to Stanford. My footage has been studied by MUFON, the Mutual UFO Network.
This is very interesting, though, because you've seen all these. There's documentaries. There's people that claim to see UFOs all the time. Are you able to spot those people and be like, that's bullshit?
Yeah, 90% of them are. They're all full of it.
Well, don't you feel like that gives, if your stuff is real, don't you think that gives you a bad name because it makes us all not trust?
All I can say is, so I have the data I could show anybody. My footage has been analyzed professionally. I could show you what I have. What they have, it's like psychics or it's like podcasters. Oh, God. You know what I mean? Whatever. There's some are great. Some are, you know how it goes. Some of them, because of their reputation, they could do whatever, but it doesn't mean they're good or authentic.
Right.
I have done this, though, in groups of 100, groups of 30. I've done it with wife and kids.
Okay. Speaking of which, can you educate? Because, again, I feel like people are going to be confused. What is the difference in what you do, like reading, meditating, opening your mind, and then having a two-way conversation where you're just relaying information, maybe not two-way, but you're relaying information versus tarot card readings or versus doing the number reading like you did to me? You asked me about my numbers and stuff like that, and you were talking to me about my life based on numbers. Explain the difference to listeners and what people should take away from each and know about themselves or what they're trying to do in this space.
Yeah. So I do numerology readings because they are very helpful. Why? Years ago, when I would sit with people, I would see numbers around them. And I'm like, why am I seeing 2? Why am I seeing 28? Why am I seeing 12? What does this mean? And I remember asking psychics and they're like, I don't know. I don't know. And I'm like, no, it has to mean something. Well, as time went on, I started to ask people, I'm seeing this number, 23. What is that? And they're like, I'm born on the 23rd. I'm like, what? And they're like, you ever heard of numerology? I'm like, no, what's that? So then once again, I started to look into numerology and see, whoa, I'm seeing numbers around people and they're related to their birthdays, the number of kids they had, the number of miscarriages they've had, their home address, like weird, wild things, you know, personal things that are not online that anyone could look up.
Yeah.
Somebody's miscarriages, that's personal info. But I'm like, I'm seeing these numbers. These are important to you. And people are like, yeah. So I will, when I read people, right, I sit and meditate, I will connect them with their loved ones. And in addition, I will give them a numerology reading. I will tell them what I'm seeing around them. And at the end, just based on somebody's birthday, I could tell you about where you are, what you're meant to do, and your destiny. It's real easy. It's real easy. Now, if you walk in the door and somebody says, give me your birthday right away, run. No. That's not the first thing that should come up. You know, that's down the road. Because like I said, off your birthday, I could tell you a lot of things. Any psychic can.
Astrology? Is that different than numerology?
Yeah. Astrology and numerology is kind of, I put that combined. I like more of the, just stick with the numbers. Just stick with the numbers because people used to come to me in the past. All they wanted to know, is my mom okay? Is my dad okay? That's the psychic stuff. Now it seems like, especially after doing Armie Hammer Show, everyone wants to know, tell me about my future. When's this going to happen? When's my podcast going to take off? All this stuff. So
that's interesting, though, because it's anyone can study to be an astrologer or understand numerology, correct? You don't have to have like a gift. You just have to be smart and read the books on how to do it.
And tarot cards, and once again, it's a tool. It is not necessary. You, as the psychic, are the best tarot card in the deck. You don't need it. It's nonsense. It's eyewash. Another thing, just me personally, if I walked in to get a reading by a psychic and they had 1,000 crystals, I'd run. I don't need that. You don't need that. Once again, I want the real thing. That's just how I am. I just give it to me. I don't want any eyewash, I call that. There's a lot of distractions with psychics. That's all nonsense. Let's just cut the BS.
Right. This is such a random question, but have you ever been sleeping or doing something and a voice comes to you and it's not about anyone that's soliciting it. It's like, you have to find so-and-so and tell them X, Y, Z, and you have to do like research to actually find this person and get them a message.
So somebody that somebody I have to, absolutely. So in 2018, same thing, I had a vision, right? Oh, this is crazy. Well, I recorded a session. This lady did a regression on me named Mary Rodwell. And basically I got an image that her and I were doing a TV show. And I said to her, I go, I see you and I in the future are going to do a TV show together. She's like, we just met. I go, I've never said this to anyone in my life, but you and I are going to be doing something where we're sharing this stuff, UFO stuff, psychic stuff, blah, blah, blah. She's like, all right, we'll see. Well, in 2021, you can look this up. I was on a TV show called Close Encounters Down Under in Australia. They show my UFO footage that's analyzed. They talk about my story, and then they go to Mary Rodwell and she speaks about my experiences. But they didn't tell me this when they did the show. It just came out and I go, oh my God, 4 years ago, I told her that I was going to do something with her on TV. So yes.
Okay. And that brings up, you eventually move from the New York area to Australia and you do the thing that I find most fascinating about you. You got into the funeral business and the embalming business, right?
So in, 2018, I'm a firefighter living in Brighton Beach, Brooklyn. And I kept seeing Australia. This is Australia. It's on the subway. Open a magazine, Australia. I'm like, okay, I'm going to Australia for a month. Guys are like, what? Why? I'm like, I don't know. I just have to go there. They're like, you know anyone? I'm like, nah, like one lady, she's like 65 years old. It's my friend's mom, blah, blah. I don't care. I'm just going to rent a car and go, whatever. All right. Well, I do that and I go there. It's Mary Rodwell, the only person I know. And when she's sitting with me, she goes, why did you come from New York to see me? There's people that do what I do in New York. I go, I don't know. And she basically says to me that you're going to meet the person that you're meant to be with, blah, blah, blah. This lady, you're going to meet a girl and you're going to get together. And I'm like, okay. Now, there's this theory out there that people that are having UFO contact are part of, part alien, or they call them hybrids. You might've heard this expression, right? Mm-hmm. Now I'm a little skeptical, right? Cause that, once again, you got to be able to prove that. Okay. So Mary says to me, she goes, Andrew, I feel that you might have some hybrid children. And I'm like, yeah, okay. Once again, okay. Tell me more though. She goes, and the person that you are having these hybrid children with, you're going to meet them extremely soon. And I'm like, yeah, all right, whatever. I leave her house. I drive 8 hours and I meet this girl online named Jess because she sends me a Facebook friend request. I was like, oh, I'm in Australia. You want to meet up? Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So she flies. We meet up. Was sitting.
She flew to meet you?
Basically, yeah. We met. We had spoken for, a little bit. And I'm like, hey, yeah, you want to come meet me? I'm in Australia only this time. Who knows? And she's like, I've never done anything like this before. I'm like, yeah, right. Once again, yeah, right. Okay. I've heard that before. No, but she really said it. And I'm like, hey, give it a whirl, right? So she goes, we meet, and we're sitting outside. Now, I don't tell her anything about what this lady just said, because that sounded next level crazy, right? However, I'm sitting with Jess. We're outside, and a UFO appears. I took pictures. I go inside the house, this house that was right by where we saw the UFO. I'm like, I'm going to go use the bathroom. I go in the house, and I remember saying telepathically, I said, okay, if this is the UFO and this is that girl that I'm having these hybrid kids with, I want this UFO to now bilocate. I want it to go to another part of the house. So stay there and also come out of the window right where I am. If this is that girl Mary's talking about, the thing appears. So I go back outside. I sit down with Jess and I say to her, I go, hey, are you picking up anything with this UFO? Because she had seen some UFOs before. I go, you getting anything telepathically? She looks at me and goes, yeah, they're telling me, meaning the craft that's there, I'm picking up, they're telling me that you and I, we have hybrid kids that are on this craft. And I'm like, and then I said to her, Mary just said to me some wild thing like that. No one believed this, but however, fast forward now, I am now married to this girl and we have
that's amazing.
A 6-year-old daughter. Yep.
So wait, you have two kids?
Three. She had two children from her first marriage and we have a 6-year-old daughter. Yeah.
And you guys have one together. Okay. So did she give birth to your six-year-old daughter, or did it come out of the spaceship?
Thank God, no. It was natural. Yes, it was regular. Everyone, you know, that too. I've met people in this UFO world that told me they and their kids are born in a spacecraft. I do not have that experience. All I know is I meditate and these things come. I had a famous filmmaker say to me, Andrew, you sure you haven't been abducted? Because if you had, I could definitely get a movie deal with MGM. Or I'm like, I'm not doing that. No, didn't happen.
Well, if it did, you don't remember. Let's just say.
Yeah, and I don't want to know. I don't want to know. Thank
right.
You.
Okay, so talk about being a funeral embalmer for a second, because when we spoke originally, I found that so fascinating. When you're first of all, why did you do that? And does that mean you put the makeup on them? Like, what, you stuffed their body with something? What did you do?
I moved to Australia in 2019. I have to get a job to get residency, so I have to do something. Mm-hmm. I'm sitting in my backyard, and I'm like, same thing. It comes to me. I want to work in a funeral home. I know I could do that. I don't know. I just find it interesting. I want to do that. The next morning I'm outside under a full moon. And I remember just saying out loud, you know, proactively, like, I am working in a funeral home. I believe about saying things positively and speaking them into present tense, speaking them into existence, because I have a lot of experience doing that and with people coming to me and having good success. So I said that I am working in a funeral home. I just kept saying that, said it a few times. That was it. Next morning I wake up, bang, I get an email notification on Seek right down the block from my home. A funeral home is hiring someone. I have no experience in this industry. I don't even know anyone in Australia besides my wife. You know, nobody. I walk in the place. They hire me on the spot. And normally it would take about a year or a couple of years to work in the back and do the preparations. At first, I was driving the hearse. I was arranging funerals, transporting all that. And I'm like, I go in the back with the girl that was doing the preparation. Said, I want to do that. And she said, yeah. I said, yeah. She's like, okay, I'll keep that in mind. Well, I go home. I remember writing out, I am embalming. I am working as an embalmer. Lo and behold, about a week or two later, the embalmer tears her hand and she's got to get surgery on both hands. And they said, can you go work in the back tomorrow? And I'm like, yeah, I had never done this ever. Never. I went back there and I just picked it up. They had a girl come in from another place and help mentor me. So I was, yes, you have to drain out all the blood and fluid, and then you fill them up with embalming fluid. And then I do the hair, makeup, nails, and get them pretty for the wake.
Okay. And did you love it?
Amazing. Great. Oh my God. I just up there.
Oh my God.
Because that's a special job. And they had a girl train me. They had two girls train me. And both of the girls were psychic or had psychic abilities. What are the chances? And they said to me, why are you doing this? You should be a medium. I said, well, I need a job on the books to get residency and we'll see what happens. So I did that for about, you know, 3-4 years. Amazing. Oh my God, amazing. When COVID came, I was getting emails from all over the world for readings. And I said, all right, it's fine. And I did it.
You know, when I was in college, oh God, what was my roommate's name? Veronica, her father was an embalmer. And I was fascinated by that job. I just found it to be so interesting. And, you know, he always had these great stories. Anyway, I think it's very cool. I've never met anyone besides the two of you that have ever done it. Okay, I want to get to something that is probably, in my opinion, the most important part of this conversation. You, when we have spoken in the couple of times in the past before this, you have talked to me about the importance of writing something down. And I want everyone to listen to this because this is how you are going to take control of your future, your present, and even, you know, what's going on in your mind right now. So can you tell a little bit to our listeners about your belief in how important, I call it manifesting, but you may call it something else, but talk to people about what they can do right now to get something in the future.
So if people look back or they look on, you know, Armie Hammer's interview that I did with him, you'll see in the background, there's post-it notes. Okay. So on some of those post-it notes, I know for sure that there are things written out about goals or things he wanted to achieve. This is something we've spoken about publicly. And I told this with people in the past, write out, be detailed, because I believe if you have something that's realistic, once again, saying you want $10 million, well, unless you have a $10 million contract on the table, I don't know if that's going to happen. But, you know, start small and build up. So when I was working in the funeral home, I remember writing out, now I'm working in the funeral home. Now I want to work in the back. So I'm going to write out that I am working. So I am, and just writing it out, I am working. I am an embalmer, straight up, flat out. Whatever that goal is, write it out, present tense. Because your mind doesn't know the difference when you're just saying something or when you're actually doing it. So you need to change that muscle memory. You will create a new pathway. You want to call it manifesting. You want to call it a pile of bubblegum. I don't care what you call it. All I know is I have done this now for 15 years with people. I have 10 journals of stuff written, from writing books to doing things on TV, to all these things that I thought were small goals that are now above and beyond, because I kept it realistic and I grew. And they do work. I always say to people, if I say to somebody, hey, I see this happening, are you succeeding, and it's going to take maybe, 6 months, you could speed it up. It can come sooner if you are living a righteous life, doing the right thing. That goes a long way, especially with people that have certain birth dates. Some people have to live very righteous in life. And when you do, the gifts will come in. If I'm interviewing somebody and after they're going and they're kicking their dog, I don't care what I tell them, it ain't going to happen.
Yeah. Right. My goodness. Okay. Right now, what is going on in your life? What are you doing? You're full-time reading people.
Yeah. So I'm reading people now with, oh my God, Zoom and, online. I'm reading people all over the world.
All over the world.
Yes. So I'm reading people all over the world right now.
Good for you. That is amazing.
Yeah. Incredible. I mean, literally, I've had, you name it, I've had people in the Middle East reach out to me for readings.
Wow.
Literally, Middle East. I'm like, you have Wi-Fi? They're like, yeah, like that's, oh my God, the Middle East. Wow. That's amazing. Like, they were in some real far remote places. I'm like, that's amazing. Wow. Awesome. So
people reach out to you for numerology, astrology, and readings to contact somebody in their past.
Some people come to me like, I just want to know about my future. I don't care about anyone in the past. Fine. Whatever you want. I do it all full service. You want to know about your past, present, future? Bang. Usually when I read somebody, it all comes up anyway at some point. It's all meaningful to know what you've been through, where you are, and where you're going. So yes, worldwide, I'm doing that. I'll be going to New York soon. So in a week, I'll be back in New York for a little while. So that'll be amazing. Got some awesome things happening there. And then right now, I did a film called Contact. It's a 3-part docuseries, and it's being shown at a bunch of film festivals. It's been selected for 5 film festivals. It already won a silver award at the Gold International Film Fest. And that's amazing. So they show me.
What does that mean? What does that award mean?
Yeah. So, they have different levels. They have, gold, they had silver. And then these shows, they show them at the actual award ceremony. And then based on the impact that it's had on the people that are judging, they either rate you at silver or gold or nothing.
Okay, it's awarded based on a favorite.
Yeah, they have judges. Every contest is different with their standards. But right now I'm at the East Village in New York and all sorts of ones out there. And we'll see what other awards come in. But yeah, being selected is a huge deal, because the film, it's peer reviewed. And, that's something I've never done before. Being peer reviewed, that's next level. They show me doing readings. They show my UFO contact and my direct testimony from my mouth directly. So
for people that haven't seen it, though, is it a bunch of different people talking about their abilities or is it focused on you?
So it's 3 parts. Okay. And each realm, so they have the paranormal realm, the divine realm, the astral realm, the 3 different realms. There's about 5 or 6 people in each film. I'm in all 3 parts because I've had experiences in the firehouse to experiences at home to in my backyard, all that.
Amazing. Okay. And you're up for 4 more festivals now at this point?
5 more right now. Yeah. 5. 1 award.
Amazing. Okay. So in closing here, for people that are listening, that are still skeptical, what would be the one piece of information that you really want to get across to have them listen up and be like, open your mind to this?
We are living in times like we have never seen before. It's a very interesting time to be around. I mean, if you turn on the news or anything, they're talking about UFOs, aliens. That was not happening 10 years ago. No way I'd be able to talk like this. So anything can be a gift or a curse. It's how you apply it. Same with the internet. So you could reach out to somebody so easy now. Back in the day, I had to do everything on foot, in person. You know, you really earn it in person now with the access we have. If you want to reach out to somebody, you can. You could have somebody out there mentor you. I highly recommend it, because if you were meant to be alone, believe me, you'd be on an island alone like Tom Hanks in that movie talking to a volleyball. Okay. You're not.
Yeah.
Yes. You are here. We're here to connect. We are here with other humans to interact, because we have to help heal each other. You're not going to do it, and you're not meant to do it on your own. Reach out and ask. Now, I'm not saying anybody, but if you resonate and you click with someone, reach out. That person could change your life. I know that me, if I didn't hop on a plane and go to California to meet Dr. Greer, if I didn't have the courage to go meet Robert Hansen, to hop on an airplane to go to Australia for a month, I wouldn't be here sitting with you right now.
Right. Right. It's kind of unbelievable how the world connects like that, right? You just take one step and your life changes. What's next for you? I mean, is there something on your bucket list that you really want out of life that you're writing on your little post-it notes?
Yeah. Sure. So I wrote a book that's just waiting to be released. You know, once again, timing is everything. I believe that even when if you're doing a podcast or you're doing something and it gets postponed, that's good. Wait, because by the next time you see the person, more greatness might occur. And that has personally happened in my life with people by waiting a little bit. Oh, wow. It's amazing that little bit. For example, right before COVID, I had the opportunity to do something and I didn't. I'm so glad, because it never would happen with COVID. Whereas now after, it's a whole different ballgame. So sometimes waiting, or sometimes that thing not happening, is the biggest blessing.
Oh, I love that. And finally, what is one message you think people most need to hear from the other side right now?
Yeah, so we are all in this together. Everyone out there is fighting a battle that is unseen. Most people, even the ones that claim to share everything online, they're not. There's something deep down, twisted and dark. They don't want to reveal or be vulnerable. I know, because I've read them. I'm just speaking from experience. I've gone through it myself. It's okay. It's okay to be there and to have that compassion, because like I said, there's probably more to the story with everyone, and just reach out and stay connected. I don't want anyone to be coming through on the other side because they played a role in their transitioning, meaning they played a direct role in their passing. They took their life as something that you don't have to do. No one has to do that. Reach out for help. Send me a DM. Whatever it takes. Do not do that. You are loved divinely more than you can imagine. And we are all destined for greatness. You might achieve it next week, next month, this lifetime, the next. But I feel we are all destined for that greatness. We are sent here as perfect beings. It's just our circumstance dilutes that vision. Someone like me, other people out there in this field, we can help break down that realm that's around us. The veil can slowly dissipate and you can get back to your greatness a day at a time. Learn meditation, take care of yourself. That's what I'd say to anybody. That'll do wonders.
I love that. And everybody should be buying their post-it notes and putting up their words of what they are currently doing in their mind, right? All right. So for people that want to reach out to you, find you and hire you, tell them how they can find you.
Really easy. Just go to www.psychicfirefighter.com. I'm on every social media platform, Instagram. You could find me on there. Just go to my website right there. Boom. Book in. And I do readings. And then I also teach people meditation techniques. And if they think they're psychic as well, I don't just train anybody in that. But if people are interested in that, we could talk first. And if that's a good fit, yes, I don't mind training people how to tap into your psychic ability, because this is not for everyone. Once again, it is for anyone, but it's just not appropriate for everyone, or maybe where they're at in life right now. And timing is everything.
Right. That's a good point. So if you guys aren't ready for this at the moment, you may be in the future. So definitely save Andrew's name. We'll put all his information in the show notes. Andrew, it's been such a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining me today. And I look forward to staying in touch with you and letting you know how things transpire in my life. I know we've had some conversations, and I look forward to telling you what happened from those conversations later.
The best is yet to come.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. Please be sure to subscribe to the show and give us a 5-star rating and review. You can support the show by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel. Do you have ideas for the show or want to reach out? Email us at info@misunderstoodpodcast@gmail.com. That's spelled MISS understood. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time.